All right, now on page 68 again, at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, we see this earthquake as a common thing. Exodus 19:16. It came to pass on the third day when it was morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, and all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai, the whole of it, smoked, because Jehovah descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice, and Jehovah came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount. And Jehovah called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. All right, Jeremiah 23:19. Behold, the tempest of Jehovah, that's earthquake in the Septuagint, earthquake of Jehovah, even his wrath is gone forth, yea, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Jehovah shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall understand it perfectly. See, you'll catch on after a while. Things go along like this for a while and then get worse. Gradually you'll catch on. All right. Now, along with that earthquake conception that is in there, we have the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. I showed you this person here so you'd get an idea. This person is covered over with sackcloth. Now, if you want to feel what he's enduring there, they wanted sackcloth on to afflict them so that it would make them remorseful. They remind them. And so they put on the sackcloth. Now, in the museum, inside the case, the big case, there is a roll of goat's hair cloth. Now, that is sackcloth. That's what they call sackcloth. Now, outside of the museum, on a little shelf outside of that case, is a piece of that black goat's hair deliberately put there so you can take your arm and rub it on there. And you'll get wearing a little bit now, but you'll get an idea of how rough that is against your skin. And that's what they did. They covered over their head and face and all, like you see that person there. A rough cloth, usually made of goat's hair, was used in mourning. The goat's hair tents are black, and you'll find that in Song of Solomon. The sun, the moon, the stars are all affected. Let us jump ahead for a moment and see in what figurative way the sun, moon, and stars are used in Scripture. All right, Genesis 37. See, I'm looking for a figurative, because practical, it's not workable. Genesis 37:9. And he dreamed yet another dream. Now, this is Joseph. And told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed yet a dream, and behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, and thy mother, and thy brethren indeed, come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in mind. From this passage, we learn that God, who gave Joseph the dream, uses the sun to represent Jacob, the moon, Joseph's mother, and the 11 stars, the 11 brothers. See? So they have figurative usages. And the only thing that we're having trouble on is finding the Old Testament figurative usages. Part of the trouble, again, being the fact that the translation has its difficulties in Old Testament. Naomi came up to me last night, and she just was shaking her head. She does it every time I have to go back into the Old Testament. And she just comes up every time, nearly, shaking her head at me. And she said, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. She says, how can they make so many bad words out of the Hebrew? The Hebrew doesn't say what they're saying. They said, that's not the Hebrew. And she has fits back there. Just like the word, she's not here today, I can say this about it. The Asa, for instance, Asa, how can it have 90 different meanings? Well, as far as she's concerned, it can't. She can't make 90 meanings out of it. And so she gets upset, because Hebrew is her native tongue. So what you're reading in the Old Testament isn't what the Hebrew says. And the end result is disaster. And so we're at a disadvantage. All right, but that's what he does. Now, this figure is carried over into Revelation 12, where the woman is Israel, of whom is the Messiah. Look at Revelation 12. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. She cried out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. All right, now here's a woman in Revelation. We haven't come to Revelation 12 yet. That'll be in a later course somewhere, but I've told you about her before, and you know about her in the book Babylon, and this woman represents the nation of Israel. Now, many of the commentaries make this woman the church. Well, the church didn't bring forth Christ. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. The church didn't exist, the New Testament church, until after Christ rose from the dead. So he didn't build the church. This is Israel. And the Roman Catholic Church has a note, and they say that this is not the Blessed Virgin, but they'll call it the Blessed Virgin anyway. You see, they don't care. Everybody makes the theology what they want. And so you see a picture, if you are in Texas, you don't have to go out of the country, you'll see the pictures of the Guadalupe. Of course, I got one here, and most of you have seen it. And she's clothed with a shawl over her head full of stars, and then you see the different ones are made a little differently. And then under that, she's got a moon under her feet, and so you see she's following all this pattern. Well, that's Israel. That's Israel again. So these sun and moon and stars represent Israel, not the church or any connection with it. Now, look at Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look unto me whom they have pierced. Now watch. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. That is the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family of poor. Now notice the print. There shall be yet a terrible mourning in Israel for the Messiah whom they crucified. Hence the black sun. And mourn, I gave you the verses there. Safad, to beat the breast. The word is misped, or wailing in this other verse, a lamentation. I just put those there. You can look them up if you want. We have the sun, moon, and stars representing Israel as a nation, which fact makes this mourning still future, and the moon as blood. All right, let's go a little further. Matthew 27:25. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Israel's request has been granted for nearly 2,000 years. Now look at Joel 3:18. It shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. All the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters, and the fountain shall come forth from the house of Jehovah, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation. Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, and I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for Jehovah dwelleth in Zion. So you see, their blood is on them, and he's going to cleanse them from all of that. Now, stars as children of Israel. I'll give you a case of that. That's in Daniel 8. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the glorious land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And some of the host of the stars it cast down to the ground. See, there it is. And some of the host of the stars it cast down to the ground. Not stars up in the air, the stars of Israel. And trampled upon them. Yea, can you imagine a real star on the ground and somebody tramping on it? It doesn't make any sense. And trampled upon them. Yet it magnified itself even to the prince of the host. And it took away from him the continual burnt offering, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And the host was given over together with the continual burnt offering through transgression, and it cast down truth to the ground, and it did its pleasure and prospered. Verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came I was affrighted and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for the vision belongeth to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in this the latter time of the indignation, for it belongeth to the appointed time of the end. The ram which thou sawest that had the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough he-goat, the king of Greece. Rough he-goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, let's hold it a minute. There's the goat. And he had a horn. I don't know whether you can notice or not, but right in the center of his forehead, I've got a horn there that's broken off. You can tell it. I don't know whether you can or not. And then instead of it come up four horns, and out of one of those comes a little horn. All right, now look at verse 22. And as for that which was broken, in the place whereof four stood up, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not with his power. Now the first horn, for those of you that don't understand, the first horn was Alexander the Great. He was the head of the great Greek Empire. Now when he fell, he didn't leave his empire to anybody in particular. He let them fight it out. And what actually happened was it finally got boiled down to four generals, and they divided it up, and they had one had Greece, one had Turkey, one had Syria, and one had Palestine and Greece and Egypt. So they divided it up between themselves. Or I should say, I didn't say it quite right. He had Greece, and one had Turkey, and then one had Syria, Palestine, and the other one had Egypt. That's really, I think, the way they go. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now that's that little horn we're talking about, coming out of that horn, sticking out to the side. Now, he's going to be mighty, but not by his own power. Why? Because he's Satan's seed. He's going to be powered by Satan, just exactly as Jesus Christ received his power from the Father. So the Antichrist, as we call him, will receive his power from his Father. And he shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper and do his pleasure. And he shall destroy the mighty ones and the holy people, that is the Jews. And through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and in their security shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which hath been told is true, but shalt thou up the vision, for it belongeth to many days to come. So you see, this was a future vision. And again, you see the fact of stars there as the children. Back particularly was verse 10. It waxed great even to the host of heaven. Some of the host and of the stars it cast down to the ground. Okay? Now, coming to page 70. Why would falling stars be likened to falling of unripe figs? While Israel is represented as stars, they are also represented as a fig tree. Look at Joel 1. 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and wail, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the jaw teeth of a lioness. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. See, Israel is his fig tree there. Now we go further. We have two interesting records in the New Testament concerning a fig tree. Now you want to compare these leaves, but no fruit. Look at them. Matthew 21:18. Now in the morning as he returned to the city, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And he saith unto it, Let there be no fruit from thee henceforward forever. And immediately the tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree immediately wither away? Now look at the similar story in Mark 11. On the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. Now the Lord certainly knew it wasn't the season of figs in the first place. And he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit from thee henceforward forever. And his disciples heard it. And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, saith unto him, calling to remembrance, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, that's a strange couple of verses. Well, certainly one would hardly curse a fig tree for not having figs if it wasn't the season of figs. You wouldn't expect it to be figs. So again, you must look for something in the figurative field. Now, I made this little map. I think I've shown some of you this before. Here's a little map of figs, because the fig tree is a very peculiar tree. Just as God has used animals, he also uses fig tree and other things like this to carry out his figurative plan. Now, Jesus Christ wasn't a lamb, you know that, and yet he uses a lamb for Jesus Christ. Why? Because God created the lambs all to fit into this great play. I was very pleased one day when I found out that skene, the word tabernacle in the New Testament, skene, is the primary meaning is the word stage. You often think of a stage now, as boys and girls, when you were in school, you think of it being high up as a platform. That has nothing to do with the word stage. It can just as well be flat on the ground. The stage has to do with the backdrops and the actors coming in and out. That's stage. Well, this word is skene, tabernacle, and it has in the secular Greek the idea of stage, because it was in the area in front of the holy place that they acted out the plan of salvation. And the priests were the actors, the animals took part, all of this, the altar and so forth, took part, and they presented the plan of salvation in a great play. So they acted it out on that stage. And so these things are all being acted out this way, and we're seeing that God has used these things as parts of this play. And I imagine that if we could just spend time on nothing but tabernacle, that we could really find that this is an enormous play. It's flat, the tabernacle, of course, but it wasn't long till all the way that came to be skene came to be to as a stage was the fact that the Greeks, knowing about this, they, as near as we know, they began then to have all of their acting in front of their temples and made those the skene, where they acted it out. So you're acting out the plan of salvation. Well, I could digress here for the rest of the week and tell you about the things they did where they acted out the plan of salvation. These things that they did don't make any sense otherwise. Now, what sense does it make? Explain, if you will. Explain what it meant on those two goats on the Day of Atonement. I think that's a beautiful picture. But explain what it means from a practical standpoint. They bring two goats, and then they cast lots on the goats, and they want both goats exactly alike. And it says that the two goats make one sacrifice. And then they tie, after casting lots, they tie a red cloth around the horns of the Lord's goat. And then they tie the red cloth around the neck of the scapegoat, or vice versa. I'm not ever sure. I can't keep that in mind for some reason. But they tied them so they could identify them. Then they kill the Lord's goat. take the Lord's goat all the way past this veil into the mercy seat and put it on the mercy seat. And you'd be surprised how many books on the tabernacle talk about the blood of the lamb and the mercy seat. And the blood of the sheep lamb, which they're talking about, never went in the Holy of Holies ever. And so they were acting out a play. And that play pictured Jesus Christ as the goat, because that animal was created in a special way. And the goat was created, and its very nature is created to show the sin bearer. The lamb, sheep lamb, is created in its very nature to show a willing substitute. And so you see, this is the way the stage is made. These animals all have a tie-in to the play. And so all those that were used in the tabernacle. And this is same of the bullock, same for everything they did. And so when they, after they kill the large goat, and then they cast their sins upon the other goat, the other goat go away in the wilderness. Well, that immediately showed that their sins were divided between two animals, but the two animals were really one animal. So one animal, their sins were covered by the blood, which they took in the Holy of Holies, and the other animal took their sins all away. Well, they were showing the acting out of the plan of salvation, that Jesus Christ would bear their sins away after he had died and shed his blood and had entered once into the Holy of Holies. You're getting it in the book of Hebrews right now. We're doing Hebrews. That's why I like Hebrews so well. Now, you can't do Hebrews and you can't do Ephesians. You're without tabernacle. You're wasting your time. You're going to just miss half of it. It all has to do with this great stage play. And even a fig tree like this has got to do with a stage play and with what's being acted out. The Lord certainly knew that it was not the season of figs. And yet, why did he say this? Well, look at the fig tree. It's a peculiar tree. And you got to do this with lambs and goats and pigs. I mean, look what you do with animals. I've told people it so often. Look what you do. He's a pig. You don't have to go any further, do you? No. Why? Because God has a pig with the characteristics that you express that way. He's a fox. You don't have to go any further. He's a skunk. He's a snake. He's a wolf. You don't have to go any further. God has created animals carrying out a vast interlocked play. How interlocked, I have no idea, but it goes on and on and on. Now, the tree's famous is the same thing. In fact, if I took you into the Old Testament there, I could show you this, where the trees are spoken of as talking together. And the cedar says to the other kind of tree and so forth, and they talk together. Well, what's the cedar tree? They're all figurative. This book is loaded with figuratives. All right, now look at this fig tree. The fig tree has leaves in January. I'm using our month. Has leaves in February and no leaves in February. It starts leaves in March. They begin to start out. I want to get this all twisted up before I get started, okay? No leaves in January, no leaves in February, and then the leaves just start out in March. Now, at the same time, we get a beginning of tiny figs. In April, the leaves are pretty well formed, and now we have tiny figs. May, we have leaves, but in May, most of the figs fall off the tree. Now, in June, the leaves are still there, and now what are left, there are few early ripe figs. These figs now come from old wood, last year's wood, and those are the unripe figs of Revelation 6. Those are the unripe figs. Now, in July, we still have leaves, but no figs, but in August, we have leaves, and we have a second crop from new wood, and that's the fig harvest, way over there in August. So you see, God's working this, and then we have leaves, of course, the rest of the year through November, and then we have no leaves in December. So I made the pattern so you could see a little bit of why God's doing what he's doing with the fig tree. And the fig tree carries a picture. So it wasn't the season of figs. He was actually way over there, the end of March, early April, and the tiny figs were just showing up, and they hadn't fallen yet. So we take it, since it was the Passover season, they must have been not the time of figs, as far as he's talking about the figs of August, maybe. I don't know. I don't know all the answers that I'd like to know. So I can't answer all your questions. I'd love to, but I don't. So watch the rest. This happened at the time of Passover, late March or early April. This entire incident can only be understood in the light of a parable. We are approaching the new age. The fig tree is putting forth the first figs. Now, look at the Song of Solomon. I'm sorry, this postage stamp, I don't know whether yours is blurred. Mine's badly blurred. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. Now, here's another strange phenomena in our understanding, because all of the fundamental Bible believers teach that the New Testament church was formed at Pentecost and thereafter, and it was never known in the Old Testament. Then they promptly tell you that the Song of Solomon is to the bride, the church. Well, that makes a bit of sense. The Song of Solomon hasn't got anything to do with the church. It's Israel. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripeneth her green figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs is on that postage stamp, and that's the postage stamp issued by Israel. Okay, now coming back over to across the page, we are approaching the new age. The fig tree is putting forth the first figs. Now, verse 14, and let's see, where do we want 14? I believe is figurative of the close of the age. Now, wait a minute, I don't know what verse 14 that is. Hold on. Yeah, okay, 14 up in Mark 11. Well, we just had it. We have 14 there. He answered and said, And no man eat from thee henceforth forever. So we get to this close of the age. For I am with thee, saith Jehovah, to save thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have scattered thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will in no wise leave thee unpunished. Now the curse of the tree, I don't want you to think for a minute that the tree wasn't cursed, and that it never produced again. It did. But why would you curse that particular tree? Because it's a parable. He's making a parable. We have a passage that says somewhere that he spoke to them nothing except in parables. And so it's full of parables, many of them that are not so stated, actually. All right, now 71. And the kings of the earth and the magnates and the rulers of thousands and the rich and the strong and every man, slave and free, hid themselves into the caves and into the rocks of the mountains. And they are saying to the mountains and to the rocks, You've fallen us and you hide us from the face of the one sitting on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the day, namely the great day of his wrath, came, and who is able to be stood? Now look at the asterisk. The sixth seal runs from figurative into literal. How do we decide which is which? We'll look at it on page 72 when we come back, the Lord permitting. Thank you.